and a bright, happy, cheerful good morning to every one of you. Did you sleep well? Again, I say that we're in for lots of treats today. I don't want to see any frowns. You're getting free sun baths for a while, and when you think you can't stand it another minute, the sun will move because it never stands still. And you'll be in the shade, and the other victims will be taking their sun baths. So let's be happy. And children, let's be quiet as mices, or meeses, or mooses, so that all these old folks that are a little hard of hearing in the audience can hear every word. Now, because he has to catch a plane, without ado, it is my honor to introduce to you a most distinguished visitor, one of the two living authorities on Stephen Foster, the curator of the Foster Hall Collection, University of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who came all the way from there to spend 24 hours at the Florida Folk Festival. And I just wanted him to step up here and tell us a little something about it, his reaction. We don't know whether he liked it or not. Mr. Fletcher Hodges.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma. As a Pennsylvanian and as a Yankee and a representative of the University of Pittsburgh, I want to thank the good people of Florida and the administration of the Stephen Foster Memorial here at White Springs for what they are doing for our hometown boy. I think they're doing a grand job. What they do for Stephen Foster, they do for all of us, and I'm going to continue to come back here as long as I'm able to travel. Thank you.
Now, we had such a good time last night, you remember? We had a birthday, some of you didn't know this, we had a birthday party for Billy Bowlegs. He was 100 in February. And with him is his good friend, Josie Billy, the Reverend Josie Billy, from the Big Cypress. Billy, as you know, is from Brighton. And Albert Devane, who will come up and just say a word or two about these two very, very distinguished first citizens of Florida. As they come forward, I'd like to point out to you that they are wearing traditional garb. Billy shot the deer and tanned the hide and made his own breeches, his buckskin breeches. They have on the traditional Seminole turbans and medicine men coats. And they couldn't wear those unless they were qualified.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be with you and to have as guest Billy Bowlegs III and Reverend Joseph Billy, very prominent Seminole and great citizen of Florida. I shall first give you a little brief history on Billy Bowlegs III, as he is Florida's oldest living Seminole. He was 100 years old, the 17th of last February. Billy Bowlegs enjoys a great heritage, one to be very proud of. His family, or clan, we should call it the Snake Clan, furnished, or have furnished, or did furnish all of the head chiefs of the Seminole nations. That's the birth of the nation in the 1720s, when sub-chief Secaupe withdrew from the Creeks and moved into East Florida on the Alachua Savannah. Through this line, through his people, the Snake Clan, his nephews and grandnephews succeeding him. King Payne, Billy Bowlegs the First, Micanopy, Billy Bowlegs the Second, who was the last overall chief of the Seminoles, who immigrated to Arkansas in 1858. Now, Billy here is the great-grandnephew of the Billy Bowlegs the Second, the last overall chief. Billy was born in what is now Highlands County, on Arbuckle Creek. He's now living within about 25 miles of where he was born. Billy has enjoyed, during his lifetime, the friendship of many of the greats. H.B. Plant, Flagler, Broward. He has hunted, guided his hunting parties on many authors who wrote guides for Florida in the early days. Billy was a great hunter himself. Billy has many friends, the highest regard, and to me, an awful fine man. Give him a good hand. Now I shall tell you about Reverend Joseph Billy. Reverend Joseph Billy descends from another very prominent clan. His father, Billy Cornpatch, Connie Poggio, he was Florida's first educated Seminole. He was educated in the home of Captain F.A. Henry, just following the Civil War, in his home. And in 1880, Dr. Clay McCauley made the first report of the Seminole Indian. His father was the interpreter. His father was of the Wind Clan, a very prominent clan among the Seminoles, which is known as the Police Clan. Josie Billy's mother was of the Panther Clan. Now, Josie, I might say this Panther Clan through the years has been a clan of the medicine men and has furnished most of the chief medicine men over many years. Joseph Billy was himself a former medicine man. He joined the church and Christianity, and he didn't partake of the green corn dance anymore. I might say that his brother Ingram Billy is still the medicine man of the Miccosukees, or the Cypress Indian. Now, Reverend Joseph Billy is a great leader among his people. He preaches not only to his own people, but in many churches in other places. Joseph Billy was trained as a medicine man, and in this training he learned about the plants and the medicine that were used by the Indians. Consequently, he is a doctor. He is an herb doctor. He is an Indian doctor. And he attends his people and many of the white people. But I want to say his main work is Christianity. working for God and working among his people. Okay. A great man, ladies and gentlemen, Joseph Bibby. Give him a big hand.
With Cousin Albert is his wife, Jezebel. And I think we should give Jezebel and Albert a great big hand, because truly they are friends and companions. We have some very distinguished guests in the audience, and one that I'd like to have come forward at this time is Mrs. Ada Holding Miller, a past president of the National Federation of Music Clubs. And it was, I believe, Mrs. Miller's suggestion when she was national president that we had, that it would be highly appropriate to have a festival on the banks of the Suwannee River at Stephen Foster Memorial that brought this wonderful special event about. Mrs. Miller.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Foreman. You know, it was just 10 years ago, a beautiful day just like this. We were all sitting in back of the Memorial Museum building, and on the stage were some of the distinguished people from the Federation for Florida, and the idea was born for this occasion. And it is just marvelous. And you know why? It's because it's informal. In Rhode Island, we started a folk festival after that dreadful thing known as a three-day jazz festival, which I regret to say in many ways was a huge success, and followed by a folk festival, which finally came out all right in the black. But they made a great mistake. They engaged high-priced artists to come, and you became a listener. You sat and listened to people that you'd already heard over TV and radio. And therefore, the whole thing lacked the flavor which you get here. I was so thrilled last night to hear this a boy say, well, I think I'll sing this, or I think I'll tell this story now, and tumbling over each other and the audience joining in. That's what a folk festival should be. I was especially smitten with the bass player. I don't know who he is, but he was wonderful. And also the man played the salary so beautifully, and I was just dying to try it. Wonderful. And I would like to bring a greeting to the Reverend Billy and to Chief Bowlegs from the Narragansetts of Rhode Island, and from Princess Redwing, who was the last of the Narragansett tribe. A cordial greeting, as they say in Rhode Island, what cheer, knee tops. And I bring you this greeting today, friend, because we've just been made a recording of the Narragansett, the tunes and customs of the Narragansett, after much trouble. And with Princess Redwing, we realized it would all be gone. So we have it down, and it's in the Library of Congress. I'm happy to, more than happy to be here today and to congratulate you all from my heart for such a wonderful, wonderful, and rightly conducted festival. Thank you.
Your kind words will make us all hump it just a little bit faster. Thank you so much. I think I see a group standing over here. They were standing over there a minute ago, all set to get us in the mood, not on the banks of the Suwannee, but on the banks of the River Jordan. Are you all ready to sing for us? Well, will you come forward quickly? one of our fine Negro choruses from the Suwannee Valley area, Monticello, one of the oldest, most picturesque towns in our section. And their leader is Josephine E. Kinder.
It's cool down there, cool down there. It's cool down there on the banks of Jordan. It's cool down there on the banks of Jordan. It's cool down there on the banks of Jordan. And the world can't do me no harm. My father went from sun to sun. My father went, was never done. The sun was hot and the days were long, but he prayed the Lord and his soul was strong. It's cool down there on the banks of Jordan. It's cool down there on the banks of Jordan. It's cool down there on the banks of Jordan. And the world can't do me no harm.
Contribution to world folk music. all our other forms of folk music came with our ancestors from across the waters. And it's a very, very great contribution. Let's give them another hand. I didn't remember seeing our good friend Fred Beaver at the singing gathering last night. Now, he could have been there sitting modestly in a corner where I couldn't see him. But at any rate, something made him sleep beyond 9 o'clock, and I saw him come around the fence just a minute ago. Fred comes all the way from Ardmore, Oklahoma, a distinguished performer, singer, artist, who has just won the Philbrook Art Center Prize for his American Indian painting, which was bought by the gallery in Tulsa, Oklahoma. As he comes forward, let's give our good friend Fred Beaver a great big hand.
Good morning. Thanks, Miss Bolden. This morning, I'd like to tell you a little bit of where I come from, except that the place I work is Ardmore. But my original home is Eufaula, Oklahoma. And I notice you have a town here in Alabama, Eufaula. And that's where all my ancestors came from, but eastern Alabama and western Georgia. Around Macon area is where my ancestors would come from. And also, some of these Seminoles you have seen today are some of, they used to live with the Creeks. And then they have a big division in the tribe, and they landed in this area here. And during the removal of the Indians back to the Indian Territory west, they made some of these Seminoles go with the Creeks, the main body. The rest of them went further south. And later on, when they tried to remove them much with force, they had started the Seminole War, and now the remnants of the Seminoles at Brighton and Big Cypress Reservation. So at one time, they're all members of the same confederacy, the Muscogee Confederacy. Well, enough for that. I like to sing, but there have been quite a bit of influence exerted by the missionaries among the Indians before they left Alabama and Georgia, and after they got to the Indian Territory of Oklahoma. I always mention the fact that the first group of missionaries come among the five tribes, the Creeks and Seminoles especially, in Oklahoma were the Presbyterian missionaries. They lived among us so long that they learned the language and wrote a book, a song book, all about this size. It's a rare book now. And they devised the alphabet according to the sound. And they took an old hymn, compose it, and sing different tunes. And the one I'm going to sing, the short one, is a religious nature. It's a Creek language, and it's used as a dismissal song. And I will sing the first verse of it. There's only two verses of it, but this says, "Now we are departing or leaving, give us peace and go with us, and that where you are, there we may be also." It goes like this.
Start painting another batch for next year. He's a very, very fine artist. And his pictures, I'm sure, in days to come will increase in value. Now then, to wake up the ones of you out there who are sleeping, here are the Panacea Peewees from the Tampa Recreation Department under the leadership of Major Joe K. Carter.
These youngsters are going to do a little square dancing for you with Clifford Randolph calling. First number they're going to do is Sweet Georgia Brown. Then they're going to do a dance in which they have to have a lot of help from the audience. Ain't It Gonna Rain No More. It has a chorus, and when they come to the chorus, why, he would like to have you sing along with them. Ain't It Gonna Rain No More, No More, and how in the heck can I wash my neck if it ain't gonna rain no more, or something like that. So join in when he plays the second number. Okay, the Pharmacy of Peewees.
This morning at this hour of the day? Well, don't be so enthusiastic about it. I'm afraid for the trees. You know, earthquakes and all that sort of thing. Do you want to sing or don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Now, that's better. Last night, a very delightful young lady said something to me about a song that we did last year. I'll see what I really do. I'm killing time here so I can get my breath back. I just ran about 90 miles before I started singing. This young lady was talking to me, and she said, when are we going to sing Aiken Drum? And, of course, last year, this was a song that we sang, and everybody loved it, I guess. It's one of my favorite songs as far as its type is concerned. It's sort of what you call a nonsense song. It comes originally from England. It's a traditional English children's song. And it's really, really great for everybody to sing along on. If any of you remember it from last year, fine. If you don't, why, it's very, very easy to learn. The chorus goes like this. If I get up that high at this hour of the morning.
And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
That's all there is to the chorus. Now, I'll do it again so you all can be sure to learn it real well. Listen close now.
And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
That's the chorus. Now, that's the melody. Now, I'm sure we must have some tenors here and some fairly high sopranos. So, let's give you a harmony part to sing that goes like this.
And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
And then the melody. And then we must have some alos and baritones. And your part goes like this.
And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
That's a tough one. Now, have we got any basses in the house? You sing bass one? Just one or two? Boy, you fellas are going to have a rough time of it. We got three? Well, that's wonderful. That's fine. You're only outnumbered about 150-1. This is going to be real great, but you'll have to sing out good and strong and long, and you've got your own like this.
And he played on a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played on a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
Now, don't let me catch you singing the melody an octave below. All right? Now, pick a part, any part. Let's try it once.
And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle.
I'm sorry, sir. You're just going to have to sing louder. I don't want to strain anything. Now, you bass it. Sing right out. Let's do it once more.
And he played upon the label.
Forgive you for not singing too loud because you've only sung it twice now, but you better do better on the next chorus. Now, we'll start off, do one more chorus for practice, and then there are some verses that go along, and I'll give you the cue when to come in, and come in real loud and big and strong on that chorus. All right, here we go. One more time. Now.
And he played upon a little. There was a man lived in the moon.
I'm sorry, I can't hear that bass part. A little louder, please.
Well, his hair was made of wheat straw, wheat straw, wheat straw. His hair was made of wheat straw, and his name was Aiken Drum. Now,